Rivian Automotive's 35-year-old founder and CEO RJ Scaringe knows a lot about cars, but a decade ago when Rivian launched, he didn't know much about the auto industry. To fill in those knowledge gaps, he's surrounded himself with industry veterans with deep knowledge of American and Japanese automakers. GLT's Ryan Dunham wraps up his week at the LA Auto Show by talking to these Rivian mentors about why they jumped on the Rivian bandwagon.
There's no guarantee of success in the auto industry, especially for an electric vehicle startup like Rivian. But there was a moment when John Shook from Rivian's board of directors knew they were going to make it. It was maybe 3 years ago. Shook was on the board of directors, and Rivian's founder and CEO, RJ Scaringe, had just made a prototype of a small truck with a conventional gas-powered engine.
It was an awesome prototype. We all loved it. And RJ said, this isn't the right product.
Scaringe had already pivoted once before. He started Rivian in 2009 looking to make an eco-sports car, 80 to 90 miles per gallon of gas, not electric. Shook says Scaringe's willingness to walk away from that truck prototype and toward the brave new world of electric, autonomous, and connected vehicles was a big moment.
Because that was not an easy thing to do. That was not many people. I wouldn't have done that. I would not have had the guts to set that aside after we had put all that into it. And it was a wonderful little product. But it wasn't what the world was going to need in 2020.
That wasn't the last pivot point. But for each one, Scaringe has been guided by veterans of the auto industry who were attracted to his intellect, passion, and humility. GLT spoke with Shook and another Scaringe advisor, Jim Womack, on the sidelines of the LA Auto Show this week. They were in the crowd as Rivian's electric pickup and SUV pulled on stage Tuesday. Rivian now has 600 employees across the country. Most are in Plymouth, Michigan, the design and engineering hub. Others are doing self-driving and battery work in California. Around 65 are in Normal, where the vehicles will be built. Shook says Scaringe has a way of getting people to want to work with him.
Jim and I and others are old folks, don't need to go work for anyone, but I would work for RJ because he has a dream, he has his passion around it, and then the intellect as well.
Shook and Womack are both leaders of the Lean Enterprise Institute, an organization based in Cambridge, Massachusetts, dedicated to advancing lean manufacturing principles. Womack met Scaringe in 2009 when the 20-something showed up to take Womack's auto systems seminar class in the engineering school at MIT.
He came up to me after maybe the first class and said, I'm going to start a car company. Would you like to help?
Womack says he knew within 5 minutes that Scaringe was legit. He's tech savvy, but also a people person.
I've met a gazillion MIT students, many of whom had four-digit IQs. But they didn't have a lot of other things that you need if you're actually going to make something happen. And that's okay. They can go in companies where they're one piece of the puzzle, whereas RJ was the whole protein.
They forged an uncle-nephew relationship. Womack isn't an investor, he's just an advisor. He's helped Rivian navigate three or four pivot points over the last decade. There was the eco sports car, then a little truck that was still gas-powered, then a bigger truck that was a hybrid. But Rivian's all-electric future began to take shape in 2009. That's when Uber arrived in San Francisco, changing mobility. Google launched its self-driving car project, and Tesla's Roadster EV hit the market. That's where Jim Womack comes in. He literally wrote the book back in 1991 about what automakers should learn from the lean production at Toyota in Japan. So when Rivian needed a big picture view, Womack was there to help.
So I'm out talking to a lot of people, looking at the world and what's going on out in the world. So my usefulness to RJ was not inside the company, but outside in terms of are we doing the right thing for where we are, where the world is.
Scaringe's willingness to listen to auto industry veterans also struck Tom Gale, another member of Rivian's board of directors. He's in the Automotive Hall of Fame and was the architect of Chrysler's design resurgence during the 1990s. Gale was up front Monday night when Rivian's R1T pickup rolled out from the darkness at Griffith Observatory in Los Angeles.
But I love the enthusiasm, and you want to get behind somebody that you know has got a reasonable shot at doing this. I mean, nobody in their right mind starts a new auto company in this day and age, but when you stop and think about it, we've been looking for white space where other people aren't, and RJ is just an amazing character at making this happen.
G John Shook was there when Rivian first met Normal. He traveled with Skaringe to Normal to scope things out one day in 2016. By then, Mitsubishi had already cleared out. It looked like the plant was going to be sold off for parts. Shook had some experience doing this. He got into the auto business in 1983 through Toyota in Japan. He worked on the joint venture between Toyota and GM called New United Motor Manufacturing, or NUMMI, in California. That was a forerunner to the Diamond Star Motors venture between Mitsubishi and Chrysler that brought that manufacturing plant to Normal in the first place. Shook says he and Skaringe started their day in Uptown Normal, looking around, looking at people's faces to get a sense of the town.
So if we move into a community, we're going to move into a community in a holistic way. We're going to become members there. We don't want to move out. We don't want to leave. So that made it a big decision, more than the dollars that it cost.
Shook says Skaringe was impressed with a 2.5 million square foot plant right away. He tried to stop Skaringe from getting his hopes up, but
by the end of the day, we both knew that we need Rivian needs this. And we had a sense, without being arrogant about it, that probably the plant needed Rivian, too. It was a shame to see what was about to happen. They couldn't sell the factory, so they were going to auction off all the stuff in it. What was going to happen to that building there? The place is it was a place where thousands of people had worked for many years. It was the source of livelihood. And so to me, that's a very sad thing to see happen.
Seeing the plant come back to life, being recycled in this way, is also meaningful for Tom Gale. He was part of Chrysler when the Diamond Star Motors venture launched.
So it's nice to now see this really come full circle in my lifetime.
So is Rivian going to make it? Will the hundreds of manufacturing jobs come to the Normal manufacturing plant as planned? Will tens of thousands of Rivians be rolling off the production line in a few years? Shook says they're upbeat. It is a launch event, after all.
Worth saying, though, you never know if a business is going to be successful or not. All you can do is set a vision and be determined to do whatever it takes to make it so. But it's wise to recognize that we don't know what the future brings. So when did I know for sure Rivian was going to make it? We're still looking, even today, what's going to happen.
Reporting from Los Angeles, I'm Ryan Denham.
You can follow all our coverage from the LA Auto Show at WGLT.org/Rivian.